Well, welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and on the other side of the mic is the beautiful, wonderful, awesome, vivacious Jenny Horner. And
hi, guys.
We are coming to you from the dome. Just finished 8 hours at about 32-ish miles, I think. Can't remember. Something like that. So just, doing little loops around the dome.
So I'm great. Tell us how the start went.
The start went really well. I was very disciplined at the start. I decided last night that I was going to run the first 5K all out. So not like, at a sprint. So I went out and ran the first 5K. And then I did the next probably 15-ish miles run walk where I'd run the straights and walk the curves. And now I'm walking. So, but the start went really well. I thought it went well. I didn't wear myself out. I didn't go too fast. So I actually was kind of proud of myself for holding back and being a little restrained. So it's good.
Well, how many people started with you?
So there were 7 of us in 48 hours that started. And then there were a bunch of 24 hours and then 2 12-hour Zoomies that were looking to break records, and they blew up early. Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. How many other people are out there with you? Like, are there 10-dayers still there?
Yeah, so there's 10-dayers, 6-dayers, 72 hours, and there's a couple of 48 hours that started yesterday that haven't got to their 100 yet. That kind of seems to be the theme, is the 48 hours seem to hit 100 miles and go, okay, I'm done. So,
okay.
It makes sense. Like, I talked to a young couple, guy's name was Garrett McHugh, and the gal's name was Emma Bruno, which those of you who follow the ultra running scene will recognize that name because her dad is Tony Bruno, who is amazing. Last year, he's 55, and last year he ran a 100-miler here in a little over 15 hours. So,
wow.
Yeah. She comes from good blood. But this is their second ultra marathon. So they both did a 50K in December and then decided that they're going to sign up for the 48 hour and go for 100 miles. Garrett got his like in 23:50 something. And Emma got hers just shy of 29 hours. So pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. And they're like babies. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could be like your grandpa. So there, I think he's 28 and she's 26. So, yeah.
All right. So what's your plan for tonight?
My plan is just keep moving like I am right now all the way through the night. See where I am at 24 hours. And then I may take a nap there. I may go out to the car and climb in, take a little nap. Just, I'll decide once I get through the 24 hour. So I've sat down once. I re-lubed my feet. Had a nice little can of Coke. I got Coke Minis. So I had a nice Coke Mini. At 6 hours, re-lubed my feet. That was my only sit break that I've had so far. So 8 hours in, I've done one sit break. And that was really more managing foot care so that I can see if I can stay away from blisters here.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, it would. And I haven't kicked anything. So,
that's totally awesome.
Yeah. So it's a good race so far.
Cool. Well, what time shall we chat tomorrow?
I was thinking after I finish the 24 hours.
Day 2 of 6 days in the dome.
Yeah.
Day 2 of 48 hours
day
in the
two,
dome.
Day 2 of 48 hours in the dome.
And, give us the day 2 48 hour in the dome update, would you please, Mr. Horner?
Well, at the end of day 1, I was at 80 miles. I think now I'm probably closer to 81, 82. So
cool.
Just kind of cruising along. So I have 18 miles to hit 100. And then, unbelievably, if I can manage to crank out another 27 miles, I will win this whole thing.
Nice.
You're a winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Weird.
Barney says hi.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Barney.
Hi. All right. Barney Riesbeck's been a guest on Living an Ultra Life podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's here cruising along in the dome. In fact, he just ran with Rajpal Panu, who is in the dome today trying to break Zach Bitter's 100-mile record of 11 hours and 19 minutes.
Oh, my.
And Barney kept up with him for a lap. So that's impressive.
Go, yeah. Barney.
Yeah. So last year, Rajpal Panu broke Zach Bitter's record. But he had an illegal pair of shoes, you know, because we have all these super shoes. And so they said, nice run, no record.
Ugh.
So hopefully he has the right shoes on today.
Cool.
Yeah.
How's the rink today?
The rink is quiet right now. It was noisy earlier, and it was noisy because of the figure skaters, which is really weird, because usually it's the hockey players that are, you know, slamming the puck up against the board and all that kind of stuff. So I did learn something new yesterday. Hockey rinks were all in use, and, you know, then the Zambonis go out there, and everybody on the track just sort of had this weird cough. Well, somebody finally must have Googled it or something. So Zambonis, when they're laying down ice, create ice dust. And you can't even see it. But we were sucking that in all day yesterday.
Fun!
And it's not bad. It's just, it's ice. But it's like hitting your throat. And so that's why everybody was coughing. It was really kind of weird.
Are there any 10-day runners still moving?
Oh, yeah. Barney's one of the 10-day runners. So the guy leading the 10-day runners is a Japanese guy. And I know he's well over 700 miles. And he stands a real good shot of hitting 800 miles in 10 days. So let that sink in. He's already averaging 70 miles a day. Yeah. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Yeah, there's been some really impressive performances out here. There was a gal who started the 24-hour last night. I think her name is Angela Morgan. And she finished her 100 in 18 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow.
That's fast. So, yeah, but, you know, it's going good. Every 6 hours, I sit down, I take my socks off, I dry my feet off, I lube my feet, I had to tape one toe, and it's holding up pretty good. I know there's a blister on it, but we'll deal with that tomorrow. So I'm doing really good with my foot care, doing really good with my hydration and eating, because I've never really felt like I was behind. So, yeah.
Yay.
First 24 hours. Yeah, it was a struggle. I mean, yeah, I had my typical, you know, 1 to 4 a.m., you know, where it's like wanting to just quit, you know, just sitting there going, this is hard. Because this is really hard. And, yeah, still out here cranking out the miles. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. It would be really funny if I won this. I came in wanting to podium, but I didn't think there was any chance, honestly. So just staying steady. And it seems like a lot of the 48 hour people, as soon as they hit 100, they were done.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to pass a whole slew of people. So I think I'm almost to lap 300.
Wow.
Once I hit lap 363, that's 100 miles.
Okay.
There's 8 people that all stopped at, you know, 100 or, you know, 101. So anywhere from
right.
363 to, I think, 367, 367 laps. So
wow.
You know, once I hit that mark, I'll spring from where I am now, which I think is 11th overall, and I think I may be seventh male right now, and
Okay.
I'll spring to third and second male, and then I'll have about 24 miles left to take the lead. And
Cool.
there's two guys that are staying with me, but the one guy is struggling a lot. I spent a lot of laps with him last night, and he's struggling a lot. So I think he's going to get to 100 and stop. And I have a feeling the other guy's going to stop at 100 too. So I may be out
All
there
righty.
all on my own in the 48 hours. So it's kind of crazy.
It sounds awesome.
So now you get the finale of the whole thing. We'll pick up from where Jenny and I left off. I am now home, with slightly less swollen feet, and yeah, it's amazing. Got a good night's sleep. It's Tuesday morning, and so picking up from the 80-mile mark, and here I am. I'm cruising along. We're into the second day now, and feeling pretty good. I mean, I'm tired, very tired at this point, but I'm moving efficiently. And remember, my goal going into the race was to finish on the podium. So everything in my mind is, all right, so how do I move up the leaderboard? At this point, I think I was sitting in about 15th or 16th place, probably about 16th place, because I hadn't gotten up to even 300 laps at the time. And the nice thing about going in the last 48 hours is you know what everybody except the people that you had started with. So I knew what I needed to get to. The whole focus became not miles. And this is kind of where the mindset shifted, because you're not really concerned about the miles. You're really looking at time, and you're looking at laps. So I knew I needed to get to 363 laps to be at 100 miles. I knew it wasn't going to happen sub 24 at that time, obviously, since I was at 80 at the end of 24 hours. But it was like, okay, so how do I continue to move efficiently around here, knowing my laps now have gone from, the 3.5 to 4.5 minute per lap to the 4.5 to 6 minutes per lap. I knew that if I wanted to get on the podium, that and for me, the podium was not male, female. The podium was top three. At that time, the top three laps were 460, 419, and 381. And so 460 was Donna Hobbeg, Sachleben, who had gone out the first 2 days and just laid up a really, really nice time at 460 laps, 126.75 miles. And then a guy that I've seen at a lot of these events, David Elsbernd, had gone out and put down 419 laps, 115.45 miles. And then Kimberly Sargent, she finished up her race on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So I went 24 hours with her. She was in third. She had 381 laps, 104.984. So for me, my mindset is I'm going to make the podium. So my target was 381 laps. At the 24-hour mark, I was at 293 laps, I think it was. So I knew that I still had to, in order to move into that third place spot, I needed to lay down 100 more laps. And at this time, I've got these two guys that are tracking right with me. So Ori Frazier, who definitely going to have this guy on the podcast. Ori and I tracked for many, many laps together and spent a lot of time together. Our two tables were very close to each other. We spent a lot of time helping each other, sort through the challenges that you face in multi-day race. Really, really admire this guy. And so he's chasing me, and I was like, he's faster. He's much more athletic than me, and he could lay up a big number. So I can't stop. I can't get to where I've hit the podium and go, okay, yay, I'm there. I knew I was going to have to keep on moving. And Tom Andrews, a little bit older than me, but I mean, just very, very good athlete. And his mindset was fierce. Like this dude, every time that I would come up on him, he knew exactly how many laps you needed to get to. And so I knew that I had these two guys that I was going to have to. They started with me and we were tracking together. And it was like, it became this, who's going to be the first one to falter and go to sleep? And I didn't know if I had what it took, but just kept on moving. Loved watching. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun to be out there with some of the great athletes. And the 10-day, I just got it. You know, I mentioned him earlier, but in the 10-day, there was this guy, and I'm going to butcher his name, Kyohei Yoshizawa, from Japan. And he was going after the Japanese 10-day record. And he did get it. And he fell 1.58 miles short of doing 800 miles in 10 days. So wrap your head around that. That means that he averaged 79.8 miles per day for 10 straight days. Did set the Japanese 10-day mark. Then there was a guy from France, and Jean-Louis Vidal must know everything about multi-day racing and the records and what you've got to do to get there and everything. So I snuck a lot of knowledge off of him. Well, Jean-Louis Vidal ended up setting two world best records. So he got the world best performance men's 65 to 69 6-day record of 748.39 kilometers or 465 miles, and set the world best performance for men's 65 to 69 in the 10-day with 685.1 miles. And then one of my favorites, Ed Russo. This guy is 85 years old. All right, so he's moving around this track. So he ends up setting a bunch of records. So the men's 85 to 89 100K, 59:44. Men's 85 to 89 6-day record, U.S. national record of 420.75 kilometers, which is 261 miles. And an 85-year-old ended up with 396.79 miles, basically 39.7 miles per day at 85 years old, 10 consecutive days. Give it up for Mr. Ed Russo, and I'd love to get him on the podcast. It was such an honor to be out there watching these guys. And I just, my thing was just stay focused, stay in this lap, do this lap, concentrate on the next lap. So I'm just knocking down the laps, and I just kept on saying, okay, just knock down this lap and don't stop. 381 just kind of became the next in my brain lap that I wanted to get to. So I hit 381 finally at 33 hours and 33 minutes. When I hit 363, I was in 15th place. So I had moved from 20th to 15th place the last time that we guys talked. 364, I moved from 15th to 11th. 365, moved into the top 10. And then lap number 368, now all of a sudden I'm seventh. Kimberly's in sight because, you know, you're at 368 and I only had to get to 381 to pass her. And so I was like, my biggest, you know, blow up laps at this time had been when I would stop about every 6 hours, 3 to 6 hours, and re-loop my feet, trying to stave off the blisters, the inevitable blisters, as long as I possibly could, keep my feet healthy as long as I possibly could. Can't really do anything for the swelling and everything, but those were my biggest blow up laps. Have not taken a nap at all. So I finally passed Kimberly Sargent on lap 382 at 33:39, feeling great. So I kept on moving and everything was feeling, you know, I mean, it's rough. You're feeling really, really rough, but I passed David at 38 hours and 10 minutes. So now I'm in second place and Debbie's looking really, really difficult, but I'm just like, all right, so just keep on moving. I did take a, after I passed David, I took a 20-minute nap. Passed Debbie with lap number 461 at 43 hours and 10 minutes, and my body just said, we gotta lay down. So I actually went upstairs and I laid down, set my watch for 45 minutes, and I passed out. I mean, I was just like out, out, out. And when my watch went off at 45 minutes, I got up. And now I'm watching Tom and Ori, and I just kept on moving. So we move into, you know, hour 47, final hour, My biggest source of strength during this thing was I had found this really cool artist project of love, and I just want to encourage you, even if you don't understand the Bible, check out Projects of Love because it is so phenomenal. Well, whenever I hit a low spot, and there were plenty of low spots during this race, whenever I hit a low spot, I would just grab my headphones, I put my headphones in, and I just click on Project of Love, and bam, just the word of God just pouring into my brain, my heart, my soul, and going, I do this crazy stuff because I want to honor God with everything I do. And I want to show others that honoring God is not a passive, it is not a judgmental thing, it is not a, hey, we're better than you thing. Yeah, it is a, I love God because he sees all of my warts and all of my failures. And he says, nah, I still love you and I still call you son. I just want to show that there's this God in this world that loves us so much that he'll give us the strength that we need to do phenomenal, phenomenal things. And so that was my 48 hours in the dome. I will say that, yes, I did cry. Lap number 483, I think it was. Yeah, the 483, which was the lap before my last lap. I'm coming around the back bend, and reality is just really hitting me that I have just hung up an 80-mile day on day one and a 53-mile on day two with about an hour of sleep total. And I'm going to win a race, not because I'm the fastest, not because I'm the most talented, not because I'm the most athletic, but because God gave me the strength to stay out on the track. I was just so thankful, so incredibly blessed that I'd been given the strength to be able to do an incredible race. And getting handed a trophy and my belt buckle from Mike Melton and just going, I won. Mike Horner just won a race. I want to thank my beautiful wife, Virginia, because she gave me lots of encouragement throughout and, helping me to heal up. And, we'll be back out there and getting after the next one. The next race will be Haynesport 48 hours in October, and I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be an outdoor one. So, you throw in some elements and all that kind of stuff, and we'll see what, we can do at that one. But really appreciate all of you guys that listen to this podcast. I love doing this podcast. This is my project of love. I love to get people on so they can tell their story because I think everybody has a story and every story is important.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.